Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's, where we celebrate every Sunday God's grace in forgiving our sins and guiding us and giving us all that we need. We'll get to celebrate that today, too. But first, I want to ask you, how old are you? Yeah, you laugh, too old. Not true. Not true. Whatever age you are right now, that is nothing compared to what you will be someday. All thanks to God. You know, you and I, though, sometimes we get so focused on this tiny little age that we have here, and we forget what eternal life is going to be like. And so we're going to remind ourselves of that today, and we're going to focus ourselves on that and all the eternal blessings that God gives to us. And we'll start with that this morning with reminding ourselves of how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. That's hymn 358. May God bless your worship and refocusing this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and meditation of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The first lesson that will help us refocus on the eternal blessings that God gives us comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah had just had seen this beautiful miracle on Mount Carmel, but then his life was threatened and he ran away in fear. So God has to remind him again and again of his care. From 1 Kings 19. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God, the word of the Lord. Psalms were poems and songs in the Old Testament times that they sang in worship. We continue that here with Psalm 34. The second lesson comes from Hebrews chapters 5 and 6, and here we can see that these Christians that the writer to the Hebrews was writing to, they were letting things get in their way of growing spiritually. So here we have a reminder of not just those eternal blessings, the basic truths, but also an encouragement to grow. Hebrews 5 and 6. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day comes just a little bit later in that same letter from Hebrews that reminds us of what it is that those eternal blessings are. We can't see them, but they're there, and we believe in them. Alleluia. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel for this morning comes from John chapter 6. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From John 6. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. And if there are any children in the congregation who want to come forward for a children's message, you can meet me up here at the front step. Okay, no problem. We'll continue with the hymn of the day then. Hymn of the day. "Take My Life and Let It Be," hymn number 469.
Thank you.
Grace and peace be yours from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ eternally. Amen. The sermon text for today, like I said, comes from the gospel lesson, John 6. But before we get to that, let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your life. Amen. If someone asked you, who is Jesus? How would you answer? Go ahead, shout it out. Savior. Son of God. Redeemer. Messiah. Bread of life. Somebody's been listening already today. Good. All good answers. Y'all get a gold star for today. See me after the service. I'll get you a gold star sticker. Now, this who is Jesus thing is actually what we're going to be covering in Bible information class in between services here. I told them last week that the early church was really struggling with this whole who is Jesus thing for over 400 years after Christ. That's why the Nicene Creed was developed. The Athanasian Creed was developed. It was, how can it make sense? God and man together. But they weren't the first ones to struggle with it. The Jews in Galilee also struggled with it as well. And even though we can give answers like you just gave, you and I can struggle with it too. John 6 is what we call Jesus' bread of life discourse. We've been taking a look at it already for a couple of Sundays, and we got it today and next week as well. You're going to see from Jesus' words today that if we forget and lose sight of who Jesus really is, then we lose sight of what he truly gives. He is the bread of life. And he ain't ordinary bread. Part of your heart kind of goes out to those Jews in Galilee because they don't have the benefit of hindsight that we do with Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection to life. But part of your heart really doesn't feel any sympathy for them at all because they got to see with their own eyes so many things that we didn't get to see. In fact, they just got done seeing Jesus feed the 5,000. It was one of his most well-known and powerful miracles. It was so astounding that immediately they wanted to go and make him king by force. But when Jesus calls them out on the fact that they only cared about him because he miraculously fed them, and when he says that he is the true bread that came down from heaven, they go, psh. Come on. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Rabble, 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 rabble. Come on. Came down from heaven. We know his mom and dad. Jesus, what are you like? 32 years old? Yeah, we remember when you were some little pipsqueak running around with Mary and Joseph, okay? Don't tell us that you're the bread that came down from heaven. LOL. Tweet that. Crazy Nazarene claims heavenly origin. Boy, that's quite the 180 from eating their fill miraculously on bread and wanting to make him king. But there is just something, even in a ministry already 2 years in, filled with miracles, seeing the feeding of the 5,000, there was still something that was getting in the way of them seeing who Jesus truly is. The earthly was getting in the way. They couldn't see the heavenly in their minds because they couldn't get past the earthly. He was just a man. He was just from Nazareth, not heaven. Bread was all that mattered, not anything else he had to offer. And these earthly concerns and these earthly things were stealing a joy and a comfort from their hearts. While you and I are not like these Jews in Galilee because we do believe in him, we can still struggle with the same thing sometimes. And that's probably more embarrassing because we do know that he ain't ordinary bread. And yet we can still treat him like that sometimes in our minds and in our hearts. For some of us, it can be actual bread that gets in the way. Those daily needs that we stress out about, like, oh, is he actually going to provide those for me? And we think in our minds and in our hearts, no. Jesus is just an ordinary man. Forget about his promise to provide for me. He can't actually do that. No, Jesus is just an ordinary man. All those other fears and worries about anything else that rise in my heart, he can't comfort me or guide me or protect me from anything. Jesus is just an ordinary man. What does he compare to my 4K Ultra HD TV and Netflix subscription? Jesus is just an ordinary man. What does he compare to the fear that rises in my heart when I think about telling someone else who he truly is? Jesus is just an ordinary man. What does he compare to my pet sin? Jesus is just an ordinary man. So when that big bad boogeyman called death comes along, what can he possibly do to calm my fear over it? Jesus is just an ordinary man. What could he possibly do about the guilt that racks my brain and crushes my heart? When all of these earthly things keep getting in the way, it's just more fuel for the devil to finally convince you, like he does so many others, Jesus is just an ordinary man. These things are just earthly things, earthly worries, earthly thinking. They're getting in the way. They're getting in the way of our joy and comfort. They're getting in the way of our spiritual growth. They're getting in the way of a long-lasting benefit that Jesus wants to give us. Just like those Jews in Galilee, when we lose sight of who Jesus is and where he comes from, we also lose sight of what he gives. So as these Jews were grumbling about Jesus saying, "I am the bread that came down from heaven," Jesus says, "Stop grumbling among yourselves. Stop struggling with and rejecting the truth about who I am. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me." You've got something in the way. Get it out of there. It's preventing you from seeing just exactly where I come from and what I am bringing to you. Only the Father can bring you to me, and he does that through his word. Trust me, I know how the Father works, because no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Jesus says, "Guys, I'm special. I'm from heaven. I came from the Father's side. So don't let anything get in the way, because I'm not ordinary bread. Don't dismiss me, because not only do I have a heavenly origin, I also give a long-standing benefit. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven." He ain't ordinary bread. Okay, Jews, go ahead and make a big deal out of the manna, this bread from heaven that your forefathers ate, and by the way, grumbled about. But when they ate of it, guess what? They still died. What long-lasting benefit did it actually bring them? Okay, modern-day American Christians, go ahead. Make a big deal out of your earthly toys. Make a big deal out of the worries and doubts and fears. Prioritize your pet sins and all the other earthly things, but none of that lasts. Even if you have those things, you're still going to die. So what long-lasting benefit did it truly give you? None. So listen to the Father's voice and his word. and recognize what you have in Jesus. He ain't ordinary bread. We're talking about a bread that if you let nothing get in the way of you eating it, of you believing in Him and of you embracing Him, then no fear of anything could possibly steal that comfort away that Jesus will always provide for you. You know He will. We're talking about a bread that if you let nothing get in the way of you eating it, then nothing else in all of this world, nothing from Best Buy, Target, Lowe's, or anywhere else all combined, compare to it. We're talking about a bread that if you let nothing get in the way of you eating it, then there is no doubt about who He is and what He can do. We're talking about a bread that if you let nothing get in the way of you eating it, then you know exactly that He died for all of your sins and that that pet sin is no match for His grace. We're talking about a bread that if you let nothing get in the way of you eating it, not even the big bad boogeyman death can do anything to you. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Sure, He had flesh and blood, just like we all do, but His blood was no ordinary blood. His blood was the blood of the Son of God Himself who came from heaven. Sure, He was a human being like the rest of us, but His life was no ordinary life. It was free from any earthly thing that got in His way. Sure, He was a human being like the rest of us, and He had to face death, but His death, no ordinary death. His death brought life to every man, woman, and child on this planet. And that includes you. What could fear and death possibly do to you? Notice how Jesus talks about eternal life. He doesn't talk about it in the future. He says that you have it. You do have it right now. Your timeline right now does not end with death. Your timeline does not end. And you knowing that shows that the Father has done all of these amazing things for you and cleared out all of those earthly things and brought you to that spiritual table where you can partake of the bread of life. And it ain't ordinary. All of those earthly things, those are ordinary. This bread is not ordinary. The life that it gives, how powerful it shows that His love is, how powerful His grace is, how enlightening His word is, that ain't ordinary. That's almost otherworldly. Heavenly, you could say. He ain't ordinary bread. So eat up. Let's keep eating. Don't listen to your doctors. Don't listen to your nutritionists. Eat and eat and eat. Eat up from that spiritual bread of life. Elijah in the Old Testament lesson, he ate from the bread of life, but then he stopped. He had all this fear come over him, and when his life was threatened and he ran away, God had to show him again and again and again, I'll care for you. And the second lesson, the writer to the Hebrews has to write to these Christians who have stopped eating. And it's even threatening the basic truths. And so he has to remind them of those so that they can grow spiritually. Get rid of those earthly sins and those earthly things that get in the way of your spiritual growth. Call it milk, call it solid food, bread, whatever you want. Eat up. I don't know. Can you get full on the bread of life? I don't know. Maybe we should try it. So who is Jesus? Well, let's just say He ain't ordinary. The early church struggled because of their human reason. They couldn't get past it. The Jews in Galilee struggled because they had all these earthly things in the way. But the extraordinary is not reasonable. And our Heavenly Father has cleared out all of those earthly things so that we can go to our heavenly home. Hey, heaven. I'm told that's where Jesus is from. And I'm also told, as are you, that that's where Jesus is going to take us someday. Because by God's grace, we partake of Him. He is the bread of life. And he ain't ordinary bread. Amen. Please stand. May you keep eating and eating and eating until that day when Jesus will raise you on that last day. Amen. Now, join together to confess our faith in the bread of life according to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated for our offering.
We join together in the prayer of the church and the Lord's Prayer after that, on page 10. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise and glorify you for the unsurpassed gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Open our hearts to the mighty power of his words and work. Teach us to depend on your means of grace for spiritual strength. Grant that our minds may be renewed in righteousness, that our consciences may be stirred to choose the good, and that every thought, word, and deed may be brought into captivity to Christ. Give to your church ministers and teachers who have the faithfulness and courage of true prophets, that your people may be built up in faith, abound in good works, rejoice in your love, and finally enter your heavenly kingdom. We pray for our beloved country. Give us citizens who perceive that the standard of all that is right is not personal advancement or private favor, not public opinion or party platform, but your holy will. Lavish your grace on all families, that each home may, by its Christian love and character, be for our children a foretaste of the joy and blessedness of our heavenly home. For all who are in any sickness, pain, anguish, or suffering, for all who are in any danger of body or soul, we pray. Teach them to turn to you and wait on you for mercy. Grant them hope and a joyous deliverance from all their trials, and let them walk in your light all their days. We pray especially for Carrie Schwieger, Dan Cummins, Cheryl McLagan's granddaughter Lily, the Dilgard's son-in-law Ryan, and Audrey Tritch. We commend them to your care. Strengthen the love of all married people, especially those newly married and those celebrating anniversaries. Motivated by word and sacrament, give them a rich love for each other and a continued dedication to be loving companions for each other. Continue to bless those who are celebrating birthdays. Give them the chance to see your grace on this special day and to show that the same grace is everyone's through Jesus. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our refuge and hope. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We join together in Come Follow Me, the Savior Spoke, hymn number 453 in the Red Songbooks. Please stand for prayer and the blessing. We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 331. Morning.
Morning.
Boy, that was a quick service. I robbed you of about 5-10 minutes of worship. I apologize. I was planning like a 30-minute children's message, though. So. Oh, good morning. It was a pleasure worshiping with you. Visitors to St. Mark's today, a big welcome to you. And if you have any questions, please see one of us after the service. And there's also a welcome center over there. Anything on that table you can have, but there's a gift waiting for over there, a special one, too. Sunday school and Bible classes are coming up here following this service, so stick around for those. We wanted to thank all of those who came yesterday for the work day. It was really an awesome day. We had a lot of volunteers, many hands made for light work, and it was a lot of fun getting to know a lot of the new school families, too. So a big thank you to all of those involved there. This Friday is Dad's Breakfast for this month. So Dad's Breakfast is a Bible study where we eat and have awesome breakfast food. I know it's just earthly food, but it's really good earthly food at Black Bear Diner. But we also have the heavenly food there, too. We have the Bible study. So come join us 6 a.m. at Black Bear Diner this Friday. The day after that is the Schwieger Memorial Service. So that's at 11 a.m. with a luncheon to follow. So that'll be right here, Andy Schwieger's Memorial Service. We also have the school opening service. Just a heads up about that. Our school is going to open up on Sunday night, a week from today. I believe the service is at 4 p.m. Well, I don't know if it was in the weekly update, but the time is at 4 p.m., so come join us and praise God for another year of teaching kids about His grace. Now, a little bit longer to think ahead, but maybe you noticed some of these in the lobby. We're going to have a special community cook-off coming up in September, September 22nd. So this is going to be we're going to join this together with our church picnic, but we also wanted to make it an outreach event. And we kind of put a little spin on it where it's a cook-off. So if you think that you are a grill master and you want to show off, then come to that, cook up some good earthly food, and we'll have it judged. And we also have some spots for the cook-off for people from the community. So if you want to register for that, make sure you register soon, because registration will be limited. You can do that online. And anybody that might be interested that you know in anything, even just coming, because it's not just a cook-off, there's also free food, a bounce house, and all of that. Grab one of these and hand it to them. So they're right there in the lobby. Another reminder for those who have kids in public school who are in 7th or 8th grade, please contact me as soon as you can. We're going to start the ball rolling here on public school confirmation for this year. So send me an email or something this week. Thank you.